Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That's what it's all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And of course, that is especially challenging during these days of quarantine. And we're going to talk about some things that might be coming up, especially now. But first, if you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number to reach me here is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. The real problem is what's weighing on you. So give me a call. Let me know what's going on with you and let me help you create a healthier, happier relationship to food and to yourself. All right, I want to address something that came up recently in my Binge Free Babes community. One of the members in our last meeting, she commented that she felt weird about this, but that she was recognizing that as much as a part of her really wanted to change, part of her really wanted to give up binge eating, another part of her didn't. And she almost felt like that was something she had to admit to the group. She had to confess because it seemed logically to her not to make any sense. Of course, she wanted to stop binge eating. Of course, she wanted to lose weight. So what was her problem? She didn't put in those words, but that was basically the communication. And a lot of the other people in the group resonated with that. And I said, of course. Of course you feel this way. This is classic conflict. A part of you wants to change and another part of you doesn't want to change. So if you can relate to that, I want to just normalize that, yeah, a part of you wants to change. That's logical. Another part of you might be afraid to change. That is psychological. Remember that binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, any kind of unhealthy, unhappy type of eating that bothers you, it is a frenemy. It is doing something for you as much as it is also hurting you. So it is a friend, it is doing something for you, and it is an enemy, it is also hurting you. And so how can you give up the friend part if you don't have a new way to cope, a new way to relate to yourself? If this is the way that you escape the mean judgmental voice in your head, if this is the way that you reward yourself, if this is the way you support yourself, if this is the way you cope, how can you give that up until you have a new way of coping? So I just want to normalize that. Again, it's not logical. Logical is, well, of course, I want to stop binge eating. I want to stop stress eating. It's psychological. And the psychological has so much more influence over us than the logical. So if you're doing something that logically doesn't make sense to you, why am I doing this? It's bad for me. I want to stop, and yet I can't. Remember that whatever that behavior is that is bad for you, it is also helping you. So give yourself a break, be nice to yourself, and just remember, it's a matter of finding a new strategy of coping. That's what I'm here to help you do. Find a new strategy of coping rather than just stop the behavior. Because thoughts and beliefs lead to feelings, lead to behavior. So if you just change the behavior, whatever that is, whether it's turning to food or drinking more or gambling or workaholism or whatever it is that you're doing to cope, It's a result of not having another way to manage feelings. So this to create change, this is a two-pronged process. One is you've got to identify and challenge and shift and recreate these thoughts and beliefs that you may have. And people have some terrible thoughts and beliefs. They'll tell themselves terrible things. I'm a loser. I'm unlovable. No one would ever love me. If they really knew me, they wouldn't want to be with me. I feel ashamed of myself. I have no willpower. I have no control. I'm so disgusting. These are the things people say. Well, naturally, that makes you feel really, really bad. And then if you don't have a way of making yourself feel better other than coping with one of those maladaptive, sort of hurtful, frenemy coping strategies, well, of course, you're going to keep doing it. So part of it is changing the beliefs you have, the ideas you have about yourself. Really challenge these notions that there's something wrong with you, something shameful about you. Then when you challenge that and you're no longer having those thoughts, you don't feel so bad. You don't feel bad. If you're not shaming yourself and you're not saying terrible things to yourself, you feel good. You feel fine. And so that's one part of this. One is to really look at what are the thoughts and beliefs and ideas that you have about yourself and the world and other people, some of which are known to you and some of which, this is the tricky part, are unknown to you. Perception is reality. Sometimes we perceive what we perceive is based on not what is actually happening, but what happened. That's why we're haunted by the ghosts of the past. The past is not in the past. It's often being replayed in the present. So that's one prong. And the other prong is find a new way to cope, because we encounter difficult times in life. We are all in a difficult time in life right now. We are all struggling in some way with this stay-at-home order, with the pandemic, with the fear, with the anxiety, with the loss of income, with the loss of being able to see people we love, to hug them, to be hugged, to just be in our world as we have always known it. That's stressful. That's difficult. That's upsetting. So the other approach is, well, find a new way to deal with those feelings when they come up. Can't just completely avoid difficult feelings, painful feelings. What makes the difference is that when you have a new way of being in relationship to those feelings, then you don't use food or anything else that is destructive to cope. When you have healthy ways to cope, and that is to respond to yourself and to feel your feelings.
Hello?
Oh, there she is. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good. That was really weird.
That was really.
As I'm listening in, I hear searching my numbers. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm hearing it. I was like, oh, I don't need your audience on my number. But that was odd.
That was very odd. But now we have you. I think we cut you off before. We'll try to edit out that number. I think Ronan can edit out the number for
the. Oh my goodness! No, don't even worry about it. It's part of the
challenges and the delights of doing this show from not in one radio station but in two different places. So I'm glad you got to
know. That was funny. It made me laugh.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing? What's going on?
Okay. So I've called about this before, but I took some of your advice, tried implementing it. And it's just, it has nothing to do with advice. It has to do with the person. I called in, what was it, like a couple of weeks ago, maybe more than that, about
a very toxic friend.
The toxic friend. The insanely toxic friend. Okay. It's just getting worse. Like, it's to the point where, like, some of her comments towards herself, some comments about life in general, are just extremely, extremely dark and make me feel uncomfortable. Now, here's the thing. I think when we were younger, when we were, like, our early teens, we went through some teenage angst, for lack of a better word. We went through some things. I think back then, I was communicating in the exact same way, but obviously over the years and maturity and growing, really working out my issues, I've shifted my perspective. I've changed, which is completely normal. And I'm so proud of the progress that I've made in my life. But this
You've
particular
evolved.
Friend, yeah. Evolved, exactly. That's the word. But this particular friend, it does not seem to have done that. The worst part is they don't want to do that. And it's just too much. Like, it's now she's getting into things like deeper issues, like drugs, and like on top of all these things. And even today, she was like making certain comments about her body. And it was just very hard for me as a friend to say anything because, again, you always say it's not what you're eating, what's eating at you. And I don't have the tools and the resources, and I'm not certified to be able to help her on a deeper level. Well, you know, she has somebody she's seeing.
She may not want help.
That's exactly it. It seems like she just, like, doesn't want help. And well, I don't know what to do about it because it's, like, I don't want to be a jerk and just not ignore it.
Well, that,
at the same time, it's like...
That's not being a jerk. So, look, if you have a friend who is toxic in that she's very negative and she just wants to talk about how awful things are or to complain, but there's nothing wrong with complaining, but there's a difference between complaining just to complain and complaining because in the service of wanting to change the situation. And it sounds as if like she's not actually seeking your advice or seeking your help. It sounds as if she's venting, just
yes.
and that she doesn't want to feel differently. She just really wants to vent. Would you say that that's what's going on? That's how you're feeling?
Yeah, very much so. And it's like venting on steroids. That's sometimes how it feels like.
Venting on steroids sounds intense.
Yeah, it is intense. It's just extremely intense consistently. And I'm like, how do we go from talking about, like, I don't know, future trips to, like, how horrible your childhood was and how, you know, it's growing up poor and how you're always going to be poor and all these kind of things. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's just like a turn of events. And sometimes there's a part of me that just wants to say, like, hey, just a nice little reminder, you do have, you know, people who are trained professionals that you do seek help with, to talk to them, like, let them know about this. They might be able to guide you a little bit more than me.
So are you finding that you are put in the role of quasi-therapist with this friend?
Yes, consistently.
So perhaps before, because you've talked about how you've been a kind of a people pleaser type person, and it was all about the other person and not about you. And now that you're recognizing, hey, you matter too, and you're wanting more mutuality. It sounds like you're wanting more mutuality in this friendship.
Yep.
So what may have been acceptable to you before, which is, hey, let me show up for this person and be their ear and tell them and reassure them and tell them everything's going to be okay and all of that. Maybe it's not so much that she's changed, but maybe you've changed the way you're experiencing her. Would you say that that might be what's happening?
Yeah, I 100% think that's what's happening. Not only her, it's just anybody in my life, like how I'm experiencing things and how I'm looking at things is very, very different. I've been more guarded about my energy. I'm more, I'm more selective about the people in my life and how I communicate and how they communicate towards me, how I communicate with myself. Like,
This is wonderful. Changed. This is wonderful. But when we change, so if you go from being the people pleasing person who's just there for anyone, you're going to be there. You're going to listen to them. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to listen to them. You're going to solve their problems. You're going to be there, you know, that person who's always there for them. And this is important because no one was that for you. So you're going to
100%.
You're going to give to them what you never got. but at your own expense. When you start thinking, wait a minute, I matter here. It's actually not just a one-way relationship where, you know, I give and they take. That's not acceptable anymore. Then that's the test of relationships. And some people, when you evolve and you start having an appropriate expectation of mutuality, that it's not just going to be about them. You also have a life. You also have something going on, and you'd like to share. You'd like to have a give and take, not just a give and they take. When you start changing your expectations, some relationships will evolve along with you and some will not. And all you can do is set new boundaries and parameters. And either this person is going to go along or she's not. And that is the unhappy truth. It sounds like you've been friends since childhood, or at least definitely since you were 17.
Much.
Yes. So
we were 13, I think. We started off as pen pals. So before the layer and before all this happened, we were pen pals, and it just grew into this friendship of like,
so you've known
a long time now.
Yeah, you've known her a long time now. So, but if you were to meet her now, is this someone you would want in your life the way she is?
No. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. But yeah,
that's that. Not that I want to lead you to that, but here's the thing: you got to give her a chance to change, but she may not. She may not want to. She may not be capable of doing so. And the way you give her a chance to change is to bring to her attention some of the things you've said. Hey, we're talking about vacations. We were talking about vacations. And all of a sudden, you're talking about your terrible childhood. I know you had a terrible childhood. I'd really like to keep talking about something about the vacation. Let's talk more about the vacation. Sort of redirect her.
I have to find a word to do that because it's just.
She's gonna suck the life out of you if you don't. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of if you say to her, hey, wait a minute, we were talking about vacations. Now we're talking about your horrible childhood, which I know you had a horrible childhood. I had a horrible childhood, but let's like get back on the vacation track. What's the worst that could happen? What would happen?
To be honest, nothing. Like, she would just either not respond, which actually happened the other day. That's a whole different story, but I was really annoyed. That's really the worst that could happen. If that happens, then it's like, okay, well, whatever.
Right. It's not. So is your worry, because sometimes the worry people have when they run into a rupture or a difficulty in a relationship is that they're afraid that if they make the other person upset by asserting their rights, that if they make the other person upset, that other person's going to be mad at them and won't want to be friends with them, or that the other person will punish them, or that somehow the relationship will forever be changed if you bring up something.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. And again, this is a person who I love like a sister, but at this point it's like, you know, it's just become a bit too much. That's you hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly it. I'm afraid that's going to change how our friendship is.
It should
what
change.
What our friendship is like. That's
it
exactly
change.
What I was about to say. It sounds like it needs to change at this point.
Yeah. So you're afraid of change, but it must change. Now, so here's the thing. I live in Southern California. There's palm trees all over the place. I'm looking at a palm tree now. Here's the thing about palm trees. If you, because they're tall and very skinny, but and yet they grow so tall. If you tie a palm tree to a stake when it's first growing, it will not grow. It will only grow if the wind, you know, kind of pushes against the palm tree and something inside makes it stronger. And I love this analogy because similarly with life, with ourselves, with relationships, the winds of the environment, the winds of change will only make the right relationships stronger. They will not, the wind does not make the palm tree topple over and crack in half unless there's something not strong enough, unless it's not meant to grow. But usually it makes the palm tree stronger so that it can grow more. Your relationships, like the palm tree, will grow with that, with those winds, with those difficulties. That gives an opportunity for more strength, not for it to break.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And that same analogy can be used within this friendship.
Exactly.
It's either going to grow and get stronger, or, you know, if that wind, it'll only damage the friendship if there's like the strength isn't already there.
Exactly. If it is not, if there is not, now I'm mixing metaphors, but if there's not a strong foundation, of course it can't grow. Or, you know, you can't build on something when the foundation is not strong. And you know, if your foundation is strong and she's been like a sister to you and you've known her for this long, you're also, it's important for you to bring this to her attention, not just for you, but for her. Because mm-hmm. it cannot be good for her to go around in the world constantly kind of monopolizing a conversation and talking about how bad her life was and is. That's not going to get her lots of friends. That's not going to help her in the world.
Not at all. And sometimes I just want to shake her and be like, your life isn't as bad. Like, you're not, you've evolved too. And I tell her that consistently. I'm like, look at how far you've come. Look at all these amazing things you've done. But apparently to her, they're not amazing and they're not great and they're just horrible and all these things. I'm like,
okay. And people are attached to suffering for different reasons. And it sounds like she's possibly attached to suffering. And so that no matter how much you tell her, hey, it's not that bad. And hey, look at this. And wow, look at that. And hey, you know, you're her cheerleader. Whoa, look at that. Someone who's attached to suffering is not going to go, oh, yeah, I feel better about myself. It's like someone who is depressed and doesn't see a reason to live. And you tell them, but look at all these reasons and look at all these reasons not to be depressed. They don't just say, oh, right, now I'm not depressed anymore. You know? There's a reason that she's hanging on to this and you can't fix it. So what I suggest saying to her is, I know your life is really horrible. Your life totally sucks. Let's talk about that vacation, you know, and then go back to whatever. just sometimes sometimes to shut someone down when they're constantly bemoaning things and it's awful and it's the same it's Groundhog Day, the same conversation every time, and it's no matter what you say, it doesn't help. Sometimes what helps is when you just say, yeah, that's really bad. She's saying my life was horrible, my childhood was horrible, and you're saying, but you know, but here's, you know, it's not that bad, and here are five reasons why. She's not gonna
something I would do and say, and I'd even send articles like, here's this person, they were in a similar situation, and look at how far they
No, you gotta stop you gotta stop trying to help her in that way. So if you're her and I'll be you and you be her. Just say something brief.
I hate my life. I've gained so much weight. I had a horrible childhood.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it feels awful when you hate your... Yeah, I can see why you hate your life, and it's awful to have gained so much weight, and yeah, your childhood did suck. What's she going to say? She wouldn't say anything. She'd say maybe more of the same. Yeah, it was really, really bad. And you'll say, yeah, it was really, really bad. Because once you acknowledge what the person says, they can't keep trying to convince you how awful it was. You're convinced. Okay, it was horrible. And that at a certain point, you want to say, and what do you want to do about it? But not at first. So So what I suggest
saying that a lot, actually. So what are we going to do? And it's
no, not or what are we? Not or what are we? Yeah. What are you? I think you should think about what you want to do about it. That's what you say to her. So when you're talking with someone who just is insistent on how awful things are, you just have to acknowledge the awfulness. That will shut them down. And if it doesn't, you say, after a couple times, if it's still more of the same, you say, hey, friend, did I tell you about, and then you say something that's going on with you. Because if you're constantly making it about her, she's going to get very accustomed to the fact that you don't matter. And you have to start mattering. The way you show up is you have to show up. And this way, you're dealing with the situation and confronting it and making yourself matter too.
I appreciate that. That actually is brilliant, and I'm going to do that because that seems to make sense. And frankly, I'm really tired of everything I've tried up until now, and clearly it hasn't worked. And I didn't take the right approach, which is learning curve for everything.
You did the best you could.
No, you could. That's exactly it. With my knowledge, I did the best I could.
You did the best you could with your knowledge, given your situation and your history, which is to try to make everyone feel better. And it seems counterintuitive when someone says, oh, life is horrible. It seems counterintuitive to say to them, yeah, life is horrible, as a way of making them stop. Right? But really, it's the way to go.
I love that. Because
when you agree with someone, they stop trying to convince you.
That is awesome, because there's a few people in my life that are like that. I'm just going to take that same principle and apply it.
Yeah. Good luck. I think you're going to be,
I'm kind of excited now.
Please let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye for now. Ronan is telling me I have Nicole on the line. Nicole? Are you here? Nicole? All right. Ronan, maybe you can wait. Nicole is waiting. Okay, Ronan is typing something to me. So,
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Nina. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's going on?
I wanted to share something really amazing that happened for me this weekend. And it has to do with my mom and her validating me for something besides the way I look or my weight or my image or anything like that. Can you hear me, by the way?
I can hear you. Yes, your mom validated you for your weight and image and all of that. Yes.
No, she validated me something. She validated me for something besides all those things.
Oh, and for something besides all those things.
Exactly.
Oh, that is a miracle. I'm looking outside. Are pigs flying?
So this weekend for Mother's Day, my boyfriend and I hosted our family over. And after the fact, my mom wrote me a really nice message saying, she said something like, today I realized what a mature young woman has become, and I didn't think you could, just basically complimenting me and validating the way that I hosted and was really hospitable. And she just, I couldn't stop crying. I had tears, just, no, literally I was crying like a little baby from happiness. It was just really emotional for me.
Well, and this is really what you've been, and I'm using this term purposely, this is what you've been hungry for since you were
hungry
a little kid.
Hungry for, yes.
Starving for since you were a little kid, having your mom see who you are and not just focus on what you look like. And that,
it was
quite
really
something.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really, really beautiful. And I wanted to share that. And then I also wanted to ask you a question. So that was awesome. And then I guess the other question is kind of about boundaries. My sister comments a lot. So I had a situation at Mother's Day where we were sitting at the table with like my mom, his mom, my boyfriend's brother's fiance, my sister. And they were telling me like, oh, eat something. Why aren't you eating anything? And I said something like, I will. I'm enjoying my drink right now. And then my mom made a comment. Yeah, she didn't eat anything. And then my sister made a comment. Yeah, she really doesn't eat anything. She's never been this skinny in her life. And like, it made me really uncomfortable.
You know what? That in itself, the fact that they were saying how you've never been this skinny in your life, that made you uncomfortable is also a huge and significant change. Because you didn't say, oh my gosh, I've never been this skinny in my life. Yeah. They think I'm that's amazing.
Well, Dr. Nita, to be completely honest, it didn't really faze me or bother me. What happened was that my boyfriend's brother's fiance, maybe we can work on this. Boyfriend's brother's fiance said to my boyfriend and her fiance, wow, Nicole's sister keeps putting her down. What is wrong with her?
Yes.
Yeah. And then it signaled something in me. And I'm like, why don't I even notice these things anymore? I'm just so I'm so used to these jabs and comments, or maybe I like them. Maybe I like the fact that she's saying I've never been this skinny in my life, or
that's not the jab of the comment. Okay. So two things here. One is, how did you get so used to these jabs and comments from your sister that you didn't notice them? And it was only when your boyfriend's brother's fiance pointed it out that you really saw it. So I have another analogy. Today is the day of analogies.
Yeah.
Maybe metaphors. I was really bad at knowing the difference between those. Okay. So this is if you put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly turn up the heat, the water will get hotter and hotter and hotter, but it will happen so slowly that over time, the frog doesn't even notice that the frog is in hot water. Now, if you take a hot water and put the frog in hot boiling water, that frog is going to leap out right away. So you and your sister, your situation with the sister has to do with the first frog, where the heat slowly, slowly cooks it. And then you realize, oh, I'm in hot water. This is happening. My sister is constantly jabbing me with these verbal jabs. So I just want to normalize that that's how we get used to bad treatment. It is familiar. It's lifelong. It's something that we just accept because it's how it is. But similarly to Andrea, who called before you, when you change, you start noticing these things, or when you start noticing these things and it's no longer acceptable, then it's time to relate differently to that person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? So there was another example where two nights before that, Friday night, we went to my aunt's house for dinner, and my sister made a comment to my boyfriend saying, why do you let Nicole drink so much? And he basically kind of tried to set a boundary with her and said, listen, that's none of your business. That's our life. And you can't put her down like that. So it's like other people are noticing it, but I'm not noticing it.
Well, you're noticing it now.
Yeah.
You're noticing
I'm noticing it.
Yeah. So how does that,
what do I do?
Well, wait, before you go to what to do, how does that classic therapist question is coming. How does that make you feel?
How does that make me feel? Upset. Stupid for letting it happen. I don't want to say stupid, but it makes me feel like I don't want to use the word stupid or dumb, but like, why do I let this happen?
Okay. That's a thought.
Or why have I,
so how you feel is upset. The thought, that's a feeling. The thought, how could I let this happen, is you attacking yourself instead of saying something like, how could she say, which That's turning on yourself instead of, which makes you feel bad. And then when you feel bad, guess what? You're going to focus on food and weight and all of that.
Yeah.
Instead of, how can she say that to me? Here's, again, metaphor. A bear is sleeping in the woods, right?
Right.
And someone comes up to that sleeping bear and pokes it and pokes it and pokes it. And the bear wakes up and goes, stop.
Right.
And the person with the stick says, oh my God, bear, you're so aggressive. And the bear says, oh my God, why am I so aggressive? You're the bear.
Right.
The reality is when someone's poking you with the stick, you shouldn't say, why am I letting them poke me with the stick? You say, why are they poking me with a stick? And I don't like that.
Right. Well, I understand why she's poking me. I feel like a little bit is she feels insecure about her weight and her body. And so when she sees me, like, you know, improving or whatever, that's intimidating to her. So that's kind of how.
Not improving, changing.
Changing.
You don't want to privilege losing weight as an improvement. It's
changing,
just a change.
Changing.
That is an explanation. Changing. Yes, she's jealous. She's jealous. Yeah, and so, no, actually, she's envious. Here's the difference. Yeah. Jealousy is, oh, I want what Nicole has. I want to be the skinniest I've ever been in my life. I wish I could be that. Right. Nicole, you look great. That's jealousy. Yeah. Envy is, I want what she has and I kind of hate her for having it. And I'm just going to try to make her feel really bad. I'm going to destroy her good feeling because of my envy.
That's what it is.
So first of all, in your family, there's way too much talk about food, about weight and food and things like that. Mm-hmm. I would just say, you know what, we're not having this conversation. I want to hear what I'm eating. I don't want to hear what I'm not eating. And I want to hear how you think I look.
Right.
First of all. And when it happens, to say, ouch, that was mean. Why are you being so mean? Okay. Instead of defending yourself, explaining, justifying, you say, wow, that was a hurtful thing to say.
Right.
She
might say something like, how is that hurtful? I'm giving you a compliment. And then I could say, that's not a compliment. Don't talk about my weight or image or what I look like. That's not your department.
Exactly. Okay. It may be a compliment to you, but it is not a compliment to me. Or if she says, under the guise of worrying about you or something like that, say, I got this. I can take care of myself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for your concern.
That's helpful.
Yeah. And if she just don't defend, don't explain, and don't justify. So if someone's coming at you and you feel that, but wait a minute, I've got to explain this. Here's one thing you could do. What is the tone of what she's giving? What tone is she saying this in?
I think it's an envious tone. I don't know.
So what does an envious tone sound like? Like, is she being kind of harsh or is she being kind of sharp?
Yeah, she's never been this skinny. She's never been this skinny in her life. Something like that.
All right, so hostile. A little hostile. I might say, instead of talking about the substance of what she's saying, instead of the words she's actually saying, say, wow, that sounds really hostile to me. That's kind of a sharp tone.
Okay, I can do that.
So, yeah, you want to, instead of defending and explaining and all of that, you want to get the other person to back off and maybe, you know, it's on her to stop her attack on you or, you know, her barbs or her jabs. It's not on you to explain yourself. One way to push back is to just name the tone that you're getting. Wow, you seem really angry about that.
Oh, I love that. Okay, that's good. I like that. Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'll report back. I'm sure it's going to happen soon.
I've heard a lot about your sister, and I'm sure that, yes, you will no doubt be having another conversation. And by the way, when one person changes, the other people do not like the change. When someone changes, they don't like it. They try to get you to come back to being the way that you were. And so sometimes they get a lot worse before they finally have to give up and realize they have to change.
That's so true. That's so true. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome to call.
I'll let you know what happens. Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
Well, you notice that a lot of times when people call, it's relationship issues or it's how to deal with life issues. And that's because the reason people stress eat or binge eat or emotionally eat is because things happen in life, in relationships, and they don't know how to cope with it or what to do with it, or they feel guilty or they feel shame or they feel whatever they feel. And then they use food to cope. So the better that you can get at dealing with uncomfortable relationship issues and strategies that come up in, you know, for things that come up in relationships, things with food change too. Food is a solution to the problem. It is not the problem, right? If the problem is the relationship, that's the problem. The problem is someone who's jealous of you or nasty to you or sort of sucking the life out of you or taking up, you know, way too much space in the relationship and not having mutuality. That's the problem. Food is the solution to the problem when you don't want to deal directly with the problem because it's so scary. But when you deal directly with the problem, guess what? Everything changes and you feel better. And your relationships change one way or another. Can't stay the same when you change. That's the good news. Okay, so I want to talk about guilt. Wait, Ronan is telling me something. Another caller. Hi, caller. Who's this? Hello? Hello? Oh, wait. Ronan's telling me to wait. Hopefully the new caller will come on soon. All right, so as we're waiting for the new caller, just start talking whenever you can. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, who's this?
This is Joy from Boston.
Hi, Joy. Welcome.
Thank you. It's the first time I'm calling you, although I feel like I know you very well. I want to say a few thank you words and then ask a question.
Absolutely.
So I found about your book and your program last year, and after almost 30 years of dealing with eating disorders and binge eating, I am finally liberated, and I've been listening to your show, and I'm extremely thankful for all the work you have been doing. And I'm also really thankful for Nicole. It's amazing how her family and her mom reminds me of my family, and listening to her conversation with you this last year has just had an enormous impact on my life. And I've learned so much about the reasons behind my binges and how to liberate myself from that. And it's amazing because once I got to that side, it became very easy. And it wasn't an effort anymore. I want to say that since the pandemic started, things have become a bit more difficult. But after being on the other side, I have this faith that I'll be able to go back, to convert back to where I was quite easily. So I am extremely grateful.
Joy, you have made me so happy. You have no idea. I'm so moved and happy by what you said, and I'm so thrilled that my book could be so helpful to you, and that my show could be so, and Nicole, that we could be so helpful to you. So
yes.
Thank you. You just made my day.
Wonderful. And so here is my question. I have two kids. I have a son and a daughter. My daughter is 12. She's a beautiful person, inside and outside. And she is starting to become very cautious about her body and to worry about that she's too fat or not perfect. It breaks my heart seeing that someone so young is going through that. And I'm trying to have conversations with her and implement everything I've learned about myself to share that with her. Now that she's not going to school, she's home, she became obsessed with exercising and with these plans, and she shares this with me and trying to see, is it okay that she's doing that? And I just want to check that my reactions are right. I just feel like she's in such vulnerable stage right now. My signals are completely different from the ones I've received from my parents, of course. But I have a feeling that what I say could have a very long impact on her. And I just want to hear from you. What would be the best strategy to deal with that?
I think that's a great question. By the way, Instagram people, you can't hear me right now because I still don't have the technology. That's why I know it's a little hard when I'm listening to a caller. Joy, I think, first of all, it's great that you are cognizant and aware of having the appropriate response to your daughter. I would say that what is motivating her is what is important. I also have a 12-year-old daughter. I'm very familiar with how horrible it is to be 12 years old right now. I mean, it's always been horrible to be 12 years old, but especially now with social media and everything. So it's not about like, is she exercising too much or too little, or should she be focused on what she's eating? It's what is the motivation? If the motivation is I've got to be skinny because the only way that I'm going to feel good about myself is if I am this weight, then that is definitely a problem. And that is something to talk with her about that. Where do you get the idea?
Yes.
This is how. So, but if it's coming it is. That's where it's coming from.
It is the motivation. Yeah, she complains that her belly is not as flat as she would want, or she would wake up and get on the scale and worry that she gained a few pounds, which is horrible because she's growing and it's just she's supposed to gain weight. And she registered to these exercise every day. And my mantra is that if it makes you feel good, you should do it. But if one day you wake up and you don't want to do it, then just don't. Because then she becomes guilty, her motivation goes down, and then she feels terrible that she hasn't done in one day. And I just see her entering into this really bad cycle. I know these cycles so well myself. I just don't want her to get there.
Well, good for you. You're a great mom. Here is the message that I would want to impart to her, which is that exercise is not a punishment for eating cake. It's not a way of or a way of nullifying what you ate. It is a way to celebrate what your body can do and to feel good. And if she's saying, oh, my stomach is bigger than I want, or she's making disparaging comments about her body. And by the way, we have maybe one more minute to go in the show. I'm going to try to go a little bit over, but call me back next week and we'll keep talking about it. I would ask her questions. What makes you think you'd somehow be a better you? Where are these messages coming from? What, what do you think is going to happen if your tummy is flatter? What's going to change? Start getting into a conversation of, how is changing your body going to change the way you feel about yourself or the way that you're seen?
Excellent. I will do that.
It has some meaning to her, and that meaning has to be, she's articulated by her, and because that's the root.
Yes, and I'm also trying to signal to her that exercising is great if it makes you feel good. Like, I do yoga and I love yoga, and I do it because I want to do it, but it's not a goal to change my body. And
exactly.
So if it makes her feel good, that's awesome, but she just need to listen, and some days are not for yoga or exercising.
Yeah, and it's not about weight loss, right? It's about feeling good. And if weight loss is the goal, why? Mm-hmm. So that would be my recommendation. I'm sorry that I have to stop now, but please call me back with a question about your daughter, or we can continue this conversation, or anything that is eating at you.
Absolutely.
You matter too. All right. Thank you, Joy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here in my home studio annex of LA Talk Radio. I'm so glad to spend this time with you today. If you are interested in the Binge Free Babes, which I've talked about, which is my new subscription program, it's amazing. We've met a couple of times and already, wow, is all I can say. Check it out at bingefreebabes.com or sign up at my website, Dr. Nina Inc., for other free giveaways and staying up to date with everything that I've got going on to give to you guys. Some free, some membership stuff. I have a lot going on, and I want to share it with you. So take good care of yourselves. Stay healthy, stay safe, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.